All right, we are live on the Clean Insights podcast. I'm Nathan Freitas. Here we are today for another episode of What Are You Drinking? I haven't actually been doing this in a while, so I'm glad to be back, but we have a great topic today. I have something delicious to drink, and I'm excited to bring on our other hosts and then our guests for today. So I will be adding John to the stage. There he is. Well, John is also properly attired with What Are You Wearing shirt. I'm wearing a shirt that I like that is pretty cool. It's from Johannesburg. It says Josie Streets because clearly I'm from the streets of Johannesburg. But I was on the streets of Johannesburg recently, so I just thought I would wear it today. The color's quite nice. What do you think about that? And let me hear your audio check. Are you all ready, John?
I should hope so.
Excellent. Loud and clear. And I don't have headphones on, but I hope that doesn't cause any echo. Okay, so today we're very excited with our guest on What Are You Drinking? And our focus on cleaning sites and our work there today. Because, you know, this has been one of our really main partners around Clean Insights, who's got the concept, who's worked with us, who's helped us really think through high quality implementation. I don't want to give too much away, but it's also a really great tool that I'm a user of for a very long time and really touches on a lot of things we're interested in. So I'm excited to bring on our guest. Jutta, there she is. All right, Jutta Hortzmann from Mailvelope. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Nathan. Hi, John. Great to see you.
Let me just running the show here just to make sure everyone's got you. There you go. So our guest today on What Are You Drinking? And we all might want to make sure we have something to drink, you know, given that we do this on Thursday, it's that time in the week where maybe you need some extra drink, some hydration, some caffeination, some illumination, other agents, not inebriation yet, I hope. But depending on the time zone, so you never know where you are calling in from and you can reveal that or not. So that is our intro then, is what are you drinking, Jutta?
Well, I am drinking. First, I'm drinking from my favorite cup, which is that one. And it not only shows our logo, but it is a climber's cup. So you have to grab that knob here very carefully. And you have to show a lot of finger strength, which you need when you go climbing. So that's my favorite cup. And inside is tea. That's also pretty powerful. It is called, power tea. It is from an Ayurvedic recipe with a lot of ingredients that I brew up myself with hot water. And I had to look up how they are called in English because I don't use these words regularly. But what it includes is fenugreek, there's fennel, there's coriander, and there's cumin, all of that in seeds. And then there's fresh ginger. And it's really, really powerful. It's like and it gives you power throughout the whole day. I totally love that.
Wow. So climbing and power tea, is this some clue to the culture of Mailvelope?
May well be. So both myself and our lead developer are passionate climbers. We haven't managed yet to go climbing together, but it's definitely something that I think there's a lot to connect to. It's about reaching goals. It's about reaching ambitious goals. But it's also about just being in the moment and enjoying the moment. And also like trusting each other. You know, when you go climbing, you have always somebody who is climbing. The other one is belaying. So there's climbing where you can learn lessons for your general life, but also for business, I think.
Yeah. I love it.
Can I take a moment to pan to my belay buddy? Is that okay?
Belay buddy, yay.
See, theme goes all around. It's important to a lot of people.
I recently watched this film, The Alpinist. And
Is it good? Didn't see it yet. But
it's very good. I won't say anything else. It's very good. But, you know, as a parent, I'm like, oh, what are my children going to do in their lives? And I'm like, I don't know if I want them to do that.
Oh, you should. You definitely should. It's great for kids.
No, it's very good. I enjoy the mountains and I enjoy the ocean more. We kind of have a surf culture in that garden project, but clearly John is not on team surf because he's out in the middle of the country somewhere. So, you know.
I live in the flatlands, so it's a little weird, but yeah. It works.
So what are you drinking, John?
I'm drinking coffee, and I have traitorously, I've not selected Insightful Beans. I have a Chicago roaster by the name of Dark Matter, and the particular blend I've got is called a Love Supreme.
Sounds good.
I strongly recommend it if you can get it.
So and you would recommend it over the Insightful Beans?
Never.
Never. But we are not really brewing Insightful Beans. Our sort of coffee days are behind us, and now we have our Insightful Tea, of course, and we need to seemingly make sure to you get a bunch of Insightful Tea.
Oh, please. Please do.
We have a really great partnership with Young Mountain Tea, who's been great at wholesaling us tea so that we can make our own Insightful Tea at cleaninsights.org/tea. So, yeah, but I just got a whole set of bags and tea and stickers, and I'm going to be making a whole batch so we can get it out into the world. And it comes from mostly women-owned tea farms in South Asia that they directly work with to benefit. So we're really excited about that. I am drinking, it's not that exciting. Let's see. Sorry. Oh, that's not the right thing. What am I trying to do here? There we go. I'm drinking a chai mix tea, and my son who has gotten into this. And so we buy a bunch of it and it's okay. I lived in India for a while and I really love like real chai wala side of the road. Tea, it's this warmth and the sweetness and the sitting in the side of the road of this cart and all that. So I drink it sort of sentimentally.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It gives me a nice little kick in the day. And
but the stuff you get here isn't the same like in India, is it?
Not at all. Yeah. I'm sure you could find it, but it's, you know, the way it's brewed and all of, you know, the sort of chai tea latte culture of Starbucks. You're just like, but you know, it's interesting, my kids starting to get into the coffee tea drinking age and wanting them to ensure they have high quality experiences. All right, so that's what we're drinking. Everyone out there watching, or whenever you're watching, I hope you have a delicious drink as well. And otherwise, we are now on to the point of a little bit of why we're here. And let's see how I do this. I always get confused. Here we go. So, yeah, I mean, quick backstory, you know, we're largely talking about our work on Clean Insights here, which is our privacy-preserving framework for measurement and analytics, because in the background, in the work we do at Guardian Project on human rights applications and technology, we are always concerned with understanding our impact, but not going against our whole premise of increasing privacy, reducing surveillance by adding in a third-party analytics package that we know nothing about. And for a long time, we did no analytics on our software and services. And we figure out it can be beneficial ultimately to understand. And I'm sure that's what we're going to talk about today. So fundamentally, Mailvelope was right up there with an organization that matched our values and purpose. And we were really excited when trying to find folks to go on this path with us to understand that Clean Insights was a work in progress, but was also ready to ship in production. And so, yeah, for those who want to jump right now while you're listening to learn more, we have a wonderful documentation site that John's led the way on, docs.cleaninsights.org. We also have some other great links. So, to get to the discussion, I mean, you know, we're big fans of Mailvelope. I would love to hear you tell the story for someone that knows nothing about Mailvelope, who you are and what you do.
Very happy to. So, you know, MailerLop solves a major problem for like everybody, which is how to send email across the internet without it being intercepted and read, because the standard protocol is not protecting the content of the email. So there are various means for protecting the email when sent, and one is encrypting the content. And there are also various tools to provide that solution. And one of them is MailerLop, which is solving one specific problem. And one with that, it has its own uniqueness. And this is that it provides email encryption for web mailers. So whatever web mailer you use in your browser, it may be like in Germany, GMX or Web.de or Posteo or also the governmental solution, the email, but also like well-known brands like Gmail or Outlook, you know that all of them you can use in your browser. And if you do so, you can use MailerLop to easily and very encrypt your email conversations. And that's like the only thing that you have to do is install the browser extension that MailerLop is, and then you can use the encryption functionality on any web mailer of your choice. And with that, it is really, really versatile. And it also provides you with the opportunity that also your web mail provider can't intercept and read the content of your emails, which is something that, for example, Google is doing in the past. They were using the email content to improve their advertising. And nowadays, they're using the email content to improve their artificial intelligence models. So if you don't want that anybody is using your private data for doing so, the best thing is to encrypt your emails. And that's why we have on MailerLop nowadays a growing number of users. Currently, we have around 300,000 worldwide and growing. And we provide this service open source since the beginning. And this has been in 2012, so we are already around for quite a while, which is also a good thing because you know that it's a stable product now. It has been security audited. There have been a lot of users, like both from corporates as well as from like administrative functions. So anybody who's really interested in making sure that the content of the conversation keeps confidential is building on MailerLop. One last thing to note there, which I think also proves how important that product is that you can go to like any news outlet out there, maybe the Washington Post or in Germany, the Zeit magazine. They all have on their website a specific page where they ask for tips, like if you have something important to share with the journalists and you want to make sure that this keeps confidential. Then they have these tips pages where they recommend how to get in contact with them in a confidential way to make sure that the information that you're relaying to them keeps being protected. And all of them, without any exceptions, they recommend using MailerLop. So this is also where a lot of the freedom of the press is running on, because they need to rely on a software that keeps the information they get confidential. I think, Nathan, you're still mute. I can't hear you.
Thank you, sorry. As a long time, very, very long time PGP user, 25 years plus, and in fact, as someone who's still challenged with other email PGP solutions as of this morning on my back, I really appreciate all that MailerLop has done in being a simple, usable, lightweight, fast solution for enabling this, especially in web mail experiences. And it has been sort of, stood been stable and released and updated and really created that track record that's important for trust, and engaged in kind of, yeah, the necessary process for being trustworthy through, you know, I assume, like, maybe you could talk a little bit about that. I mean, the sort of development, code process, audits, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, the software process behind this work.
Yeah. So our developer team is really, really small. So there's not a lot of process behind that. But we always make sure that the code adheres to current standards. And we have external testing on that. Like, for example, there was a security audit that was run by an agency of the German government to make sure that this can also be included. Like, yeah, you find that on our website as well. This, the one that I was just mentioning, is the BSI, the Office for Security, but there were also others. So you can find this whole list of security audits, which is so key to a privacy-preserving software. So that's definitely something that we are looking at a lot and making sure that we keep this up to date. And for sure, the other thing is, yeah, just being open source. As was said before, given enough eyeballs, all bugs are shallow. So that definitely also helps us to maintain a high quality of the code.
And I'll just take a minute to give a plug. One of the cleanest, clearest code bases I've worked with in a long time.
That's great to hear. Thanks so much for sharing that, John.
That makes it easier to keep it working right, too.
Wait, say that. First off, your volume, if you can speak up a little bit louder.
Oh, yeah.
But say that again. Clearest?
It's one of the cleanest and clearest code bases I've worked with in a long time. It's a sign of the craftsmanship. That's not a guarantee of security, but man, it points in the right direction when you look at something that's that clear. It's harder to hide demons.
True.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll get back to that. Just why you were writing code for Mailvolope. What? How did that happen? So that's part of our discussion today. I think you brought up encrypted email use cases, and we know that, as you mentioned, news organizations on their tip line support that and recommend that as an option.
Yeah.
We know business groups and, you know, and groups like ours at Guardian Project, you know, it's important for us to be reachable via PGP for people that want to discuss private information, disclose security issues, working on human rights data.
Yeah.
We also, you know, sign our release software using PGP keys. What are some other, I mean, I guess with various privacy regulations and things like that, I mean, yes, we have encrypted messenger apps tied to phone mm-hmm. numbers. What are the kind of use cases or needs still for encrypted email yeah. if we have that?
So in normal organizations, apart from like the very techie bubble, email is just still the way to communicate. And this means that a lot of confidential and information goes gets communicated via email. For example, the communication of lawyers or any legal roles, the communication of health professionals, like a doctor communicating the results of a treatment to their patients, or the communication of HR people, like in hiring, for example, or discussing matters about laying off a person. So there, all of these examples are pointing to personal data getting shared in a way that has to be protected. And the other area is where the content is about some vulnerable groups, like refugees, for example, anything related to human rights, anything about women being like harassed, for example. So there are so many areas where communication is still happening via email, but you just need it to be encrypted and protected that way. And we have GDPR, and it says very clearly that when you are working with personal data, you have to take appropriate means and measures to secure it. And encryption is one of the clearly listed options there. But still, it is not prosecuted in a fully way, that regulation. And it's not, the awareness is also not sufficiently high, which is why we try with our blog post, but also posting on LinkedIn and speaking at conferences. We try to raise the awareness on these topics. And also we try to understand the target groups that I mentioned. We just try to understand their needs and use cases better.
And there's on your blog, and there's so much great content on your site. I think, you know, PGP signatures are also, I probably maybe use PGP signatures more now than encryption, in that, you know, there's a lot of phishing or identity kind of shallow identity theft attacks, you know, where, and I deal with this with a lot of just civic organizations in my small town, where someone will make a lookalike Gmail that is from someone else and a leader in a town thing. And it's so cheap to kind of do these scams. And often the first thing I want to say is, like, they're like, how do we stop this? I want to be like, use PGP signatures.
Exactly.
With emails. And it is something that, like, I still, if with Mailvelope, that becomes a realistic thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's so often overlooked. So it's something that we also want to put out more in our messaging, that it is not only about encryption, which is important, and we discussed this, but the other thing, as you said, is signing. And nowadays, like phishing and scam, it is one of the highest security risks out there for companies and organizations. And especially spear phishing, like what you mentioned, that the email is crafted in a way that it looks like a leader of your organization is addressing you. And it moves people into doing things that they shouldn't, like send money someplace or hand over confidential information. So, but as soon as you have signing in place in your organization, everybody can just check out whether it is signed with the proper key. And then they know that this mail is not coming from the sender that is faked. So that's definitely a very important second use case that we can't stress enough.
And lastly, before we get into our collaboration, what you're actually supporting is a open, interoperable, decentralized, and federated capable standard, right? So that's where I still, as much as, I'm excited about Signal, I'm excited, you know, we work on Matrix and things like that for messaging, and there's some emergent standards there, but the place where you can just use something and someone can use a totally different tool and system and server and software on the other end, and it works very well, is exciting and important. And I know that you're just focused on the browser, but you know that, you know, if I use GP Gmail or Delta Chat even, or some very different user experience, that it should all just work.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it.
So yeah, for all of you that are want to know more about PGP and email and using Mailvelope, you know, go to their website, check out their products. They also have a business model, which is great to help them be sustainable. This is partly what we're going to talk about next, which is, look, we love open source. We love grants and funding from foundations and, you know, different pools of money. But it's great to have a business model. And to have a business model that's sustainable, you also need to know what your users are doing and how they can be helped and how you can improve the user experience. And exactly. So a lot of our focus on, make sure to go check out the website. More importantly, make sure if you've never used Mailvelope to go use it. if you're using it in a business setting to pay for it.
one last plug. If you use it and you love it, consider donating, like giving back to the community and making sure that it keeps as being a sustainable project and keeps providing the functionality for years to come.
Yeah. Great. And so our focus with Clean Insights really is, in the background, one about sustainability. It's ensuring that, yes, you know, you can have a good idea and just build something, and you can do a certain amount of offline user research and testing in person. This is all things we do. But when you get to thousands or tens or hundreds or millions of users, you're not necessarily going to be understand everything that's happening at scale. And so finding a way to add some focused measurement analytics in a way that meets our high standards has been our goal with Clean Insights. So I want to let John maybe just give a little background here to our collaboration with you, since you were such a key part of it, John.
Yeah. So this has gone in two rounds. So the first time was kind of that getting to hello world with Clean Insights. So when you run something like Mailvelope, not only are you privacy conscious, but by definition, your users are, right? So you got to be really careful about what you're instrumenting, how you're communicating it, because you've got an audience who's making real choices to protect their privacy. And even the word tracking or metrics these days can be set off alarm bells. So you got to communicate with care, and you got to code and design with care. So the first time around, we when we approach people, we ask, what's a decision you have to make? And what's a decision you have to make that you wish you knew more going into? And often people who make these decisions all day stare blankly for a half a second. I think Mailvelope's a little sharper and picked out one of the implicit decisions that open source developers make all the time, which is, what do I spend my next hour on? And with Mailvelope, it can work with so many different email providers, each of which requires some care to make the user interaction work right? And I said, well, to be honest, we don't record anything about our users. We're not looking at who's sending emails to who. We're not, you know, Gmail, where we can see the entire flow of what's coming and going. You know, we give you an extension and deliberately see nothing. That's part of the design. But one thing we wish we knew was which providers people were using, so we knew where to invest our time. You know, is there a provider that's more popular than we're guessing it is that warrants more of our attention? And that's exactly the kind of decision people everywhere are making on their products, often without that piece of information. It's like, you know what? It actually is 35%. And if it's all right, I will share the results of that one.
Yeah, I think you can share, and then we can put yours up, multi-screen share.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what I'm showing in the meantime is the our impact reports. Oh, there you go. Look at that. Impact report page, which you can see at that link below, where we have some of this that John is talking to.
Yeah, and I won't summarize all the data, but suffice to say, you can look at this, and if you look at the first row, you'll see, hey, it's Gmail. And that wasn't a given with this crowd, because number one, it serves a lot of providers that we talked about earlier, GMX, web.de, and so on, that often are tighter, have tighter integrations with Mailvelope. And, you know, the question was like, well, are Mailvelope users, quote unquote, like everyone else? You know, the average person you might expect to use Gmail, are our users different? And so we actually got some positive answers here, and we're able to put that in the team's hands to make choices with. So
wait, so what are you showing me here? Are you tracking? Wait, put that back up.
Okay.
That makes me really concerned as a privacy advocate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're tracking all the pages of Mailvolt. What is this?
So this was a fun implementation. So we'll talk about consent in a minute, because that's really the lead in to the discussion of like, hey, wait a minute, you're tracking. We did a couple of things to kind of filter this down to collect only what you need. And we refer to it as like the tweezers model instead of the Hoover coming through and vacuuming up everything. So the traditional commercial analytics model is gather everything and then figure out what charts you want later. Don't worry about it. And by the way, that usually goes along with gather everything, hand it to a megacorp, and then get your charts later. And that part should make you feel icky, if nothing else. So we did a couple things. One, we said, the only thing we're interested in is, did you use a mail provider in a given week? That's it. Not how many times, not at what time did you do it, not who did you send email to, not what did you do while you were there. Did you use that mail provider this week? And that's the only thing we looked at. So the first thing that happens is, if a page does not match one of the pages that Mailvolt is configured to work with, not only does Clean Insights not know about that, Mailvolt doesn't even know about that. As part of the design of the extension, it will not load itself into the newyorktimes.com, because that's nonsense. Why would you want to give it permission to load content scripts into a page like that? So that's step one. Step two is we set a binary flag to 0 or 1. And it's 1 if you use that site this week. And then at the end of that week, we just report, here's everything that had a 1. Then, by Clean Insights design, we throw away your identity information and we just store that kind of as an incrementer. So rather than having a guest book, which is how most analytics work, hey, what's your name, or what's your cookie number, or something to that effect? What's your user ID? Think of it like somebody at the entrance to a concert who's just clicking, how many people do I have in here? And you look at it, you go, you know, 535 is not a privacy invading number. A guest book might be something you'd be afraid of leaking. So what we end up with is that kind of count. And so what you see here is at the end of each week, and this is actually many weeks, this is a couple months worth of data. But at the end of every week, we added it up and we said, did people use it? So you might notice at no point did I mention the like right to be deleted, because we simply do not have any information about you. Full stop. Yeah. There's no Nathan in the database to delete. All we have is 535.
Right. And so our goal is always to be able to show this data publicly, you know, have an inspiration, as always, was the Tor project metrics page, which is a fully public metrics portal of this kind of data for the Tor network. And so what you're seeing here is the Matomo backend integration, because it's another open source tool that we can send data to. In the future, we may have an alternate backend, which is a public page that Mailvolt can just have all of this data publicly, because there's nothing harmful in it. So, but yeah, so how do we get to this integration point from the user's perspective?
So the very first thing you see when you install the extension is this splash page. And it says, hey, go click on the icon for this and configure it, right? Do you have a key already? Import it. Do you need to generate one, generate it, and so on. The original implementation had this checkbox right on it, share aggregated and anonymized analytics with Mailvolt. And this does exactly what you'd expect. You can opt in, you can opt out, and move on. And then later on, you've got a control also within your settings page to turn that on or off at will. This was a basic approach, and this was what we settled on after kind of considering, okay, how sensitive is the data we're gathering? What is the audience's use case and expectation, and how should we communicate it to them? So we said, should put it right up front and be clear about it and give them a choice. Based on user feedback, we decided to go with a different model for the next time around. That was even more, I think, careful in seeking that consent and making sure it wasn't something, you know, here you'll notice it sits below let's start. And we did that because we said that this isn't, if I said, I need a list of the people you communicate with, well, that's radioactive. That would be a wild thing to be collecting. You'd have to put that, flashing red lights and put it up front and center. This was something that was simple enough. We said, the risk to the user is low. We think we're communicating it clearly. We'll put it there. And like I said, we decided to improve that even further in the second round. But this was the original kind of consent model that brought you in.
And so, Utah, you've been perhaps more involved in kind of the evolution in the second round of work that we've been doing more recently. But I would like, you know, maybe as someone responsible for justifying this feature and integration, you know, how do you talk to people about it when they ask? How do you feel about its value? And where do you think we are with usefulness of this kind of data?
Yeah. First, a quick disclaimer. I only joined MailVelop in the beginning of February. So unfortunately, I was not there when that was incubated. But I was obviously also not needed because the results are beautiful and working quite nicely and providing us with exactly the data that we now need. I think what it shows is it is twofold. So we know both as an open source project, but also with a for business offering, we know that we need to know at least a little bit about our users, really just to improve the product and to make sure, as John said, to focus on the right topics and to prioritize properly. And then this always leads to the question, how do we communicate this properly to our users? Usability tests are always one part of that game, because there we have a proper consent. It is a very straightforward transactional setting. And there you can ask like any questions. But as John also said before, this is not the data that you get when users are directly in the journey, in the product, and using it on a day-to-day basis. So this accompanies the knowledge that we get from usability testing quite nicely. So I know that setting from other open source projects. I've been leading in the last 5 years. I've been managing director of IO, which is the company behind AdBlock Plus and AdBlock, you know, the AdBlocker web extensions. And there we had exactly the same top problems and questions. So it is not something that is only applying to MailVelop, but to a lot of privacy preserving open source tools. How can we make sure that we get the tiny bit of data that we need while still making sure that our users don't feel annoyed or like tracked or like everything they want to stop by using our products, be it email encryption or be it ad blocker, they want to stop how the general internet ecosystem is behaving nowadays. So we need to make sure that this is not what we are doing, and we need to do so with various means. One is communication. So this is why we have a very long blog article on the topic, for example, and we try to make sure that people understand what we are doing and why we are doing it. And at the same time, make sure that all of the UI components that we are using are as non-intrusive as possible, and for example that they are not opt-in not opt-out by default but opt-in. These so there are tweaks that you can use to generate the trust from your users.
So John, what are we seeing here on your screen about help us improve and so how metrics are safe?
So this is the new consent screen that you'd see if you installed MailVelop, not today, but in the future. This isn't deployed just yet. But before we get to it, there's something fun that I want to point out, which is I had that data up talking about what providers people were using. One of the things that Clean Insights does as part of our methodology is we limit the time span of collection, not only how long you'd collect data from a single user. So for that one, I believe we said 3 months. And while we ran the campaign for 6 months, we said, we're not going to collect data from anyone for more than 3 months at a go. We got what we needed. and we moved on. It's not that collect everything from everyone forever model. So we answered the question we really had. We gave the team the power to make the decision that they faced, and that's it. It's not a perpetual data machine. This is answering a new question. So this is the fun part about working with this, is you get to kind of do this iterative thing. You go, okay, that was great. What's next? What are other decisions that I've got to face? And one is that there's not a lot of insight into the onboarding experience, right? And PGP is famously difficult to work with for people. And that's what makes Mailvelope so cool. Mailvelope is easy. But the question is, when someone struggles with it, where? What steps do people get to, right? You can see something like from the Chrome extension store, like, oh, how many installs did I have and things of that nature. But it's kind of like you look at it and you're like, well, that's it. That's, I get this number. Are those reinstalls? I don't even know what's happening here. Like, I just get a, I get a big number. It's like, thanks. It's not nothing, but it doesn't answer the question, like, are people making it through the process? So we wanted to look at a simple process, which is basically, can you send and receive an encrypted email? And if so, how long does that take you? And what steps do you go through to get there? And we decided we wanted to ask folks in a little bit more deliberate manner than the first time with that checkbox. We wanted to say, yes or no, we don't want you to accidentally click through or not see it or anything like that. But we also didn't want to add more friction to that onboarding experience that we care very much about. You can go read studies. Every click you add costs some success rate in aggregate, and it stinks. So said, well, we don't need data from every single person, but we do, when we collect it, want to be really clear. So we're showing 1% of users this yes or no. You can answer either way. You'll have the exact same experience within Mailvelope, but this is whether or not you'd be willing to contribute some coarsely timestamp data about your onboarding journey. So you can click yes or no and move on from there.
Great. Yeah. And I can't find it right now, but there's some broken link on our website, but one of the things that you can find on cleaninsights.org is discussions around usability and consent UX. And this is a bigger part of what we've been focused on from the beginning than just writing a technical, you know, differential privacy toolkit or something. The idea of how the user understands, like, I personally was so annoyed by just saying yes or no one time, do you opt in or not, you know, for this kind of stuff. And I just set up a bunch of new test devices, and the state of the art for most phones today still is when you set up the device, yes or no, as opposed to a time bound or, yeah, data bound kind of thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I see how I could be helpful in this small amount of time and then know it's done. And I think that's also mapped to the real world where my wife works in public health. I think I bring this up every time I talk about Clean Insights because she was a big inspiration. But I remember, you know, in this huge study they were doing on tobacco use in New York City and the impact of their work to reduce the use of tobacco. You know, they went to a park and they measured the amount of cigarette butts in certain areas of the park on the ground, and they got a number, aggregated that. They didn't take pictures of people's faces. They didn't ask for IDs. They didn't write down information. They didn't go up to smokers. They just chose a metric for their baseline. And then a year later, after all of this work and public information, they went back and did the same thing again. And they could see from that if they had impacted that neighborhood's use of tobacco. You know, and that kind of model is an inspiration because this is what real scientists are doing. You know, if they set up cameras and ID checks that were constantly monitoring and capturing every step of every person in that park, it would not be allowed in a physical space. It would also be harmful. If it was allowed, it would be totally harmful for other reasons. So, yeah. So I'm glad that we are taking this next step with Mailvelope in this process. And I don't know, Yuta, I know you're newer to it, but, you know, I would say it's also been great from an open source perspective because we can work together with you to do the implementation. We can contribute code, but your developers can also see the code and it can be maintained. And so a lot of this works because we're all collectively open source together.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of that open source ecosystem, that we have the opportunity to collaborate pretty easily. And that also, this solution is not something that we can use, but that can be also reused by others, and others can check out the code and probably fit it in their tools and also understand and learn from our solutions. So it's always a give and take process.
So on that front, getting on in the time here. I don't know if there's any other, I mean, we talked a little bit about how this impacts your ability to sustain yourself and keep improving things for your users. And I'm getting very blurry here. I know that, again, like sustainability and understanding where to put your limited time and energy is an important topic. In general, where are you with sustainability and growth? And
so it's a key topic for us, and this is what I'm why I was joining the company to create some progress on that topic. So as I said before, MailBitOp has been around since more than 10 years now, and it is totally successful as a product. It has a strong community. It serves a lot of users, both individuals as well as organizations. But there is no business model behind that. Luckily, today we have funds like the Open Tech Fund or Internews that, or in Germany, the Sovereign Tech Fund or Prototype, for example. Those support open source projects to make sure that these are thriving and can continue to build the projects. So that is not something happening again like we had in 2014 with the Heartbleed bug in OpenSSH, or later with the Log4j bug. These are always very strong examples for the problem with open source software, which is not a problem of open source software. It's a problem, it's a systemic problem of the capitalist system, that if you are providing goods to the commons for free, there will always be a lot of free riders on that. And the people creating these goods are not necessarily remunerated in a way that they can sustain a living in this system. And this is why we always, as open source creators, we always have to look for means to get proper funding, be it donations, be it like a for-profit solution, be it services around our product. So this is what we are currently looking at in both directions. What are proper funds that might help us to continue us working on that product, but also what are for-profit business models that also can help us sustain the project without cannibalizing it, without changing the general direction of it being free and open source. So it's a fine line to walk, but definitely something that, that we are looking at. We need to grow. You're just showing the career page on our website. We need to grow. We need to have more resources in development, but we also need to grow in other areas. We need to spread the word. We need to have people on board who are good in communications or marketing to make sure that we increase the general awareness about privacy-preserving communications. And that's what we are currently up at. On the one hand, continuing creating a great product, but on the other track, also building a successful organization.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, obviously, it's wonderful, first of all, that you're there to focus on this. And, a lot of my interest is just providing careers and career paths for people interested in free software, open source, privacy, security, work on human rights, to provide a place to be and do this work, instead of thinking that this is all sort of charity work. So that's fantastic. And it's also interesting with, again, going back to the way that PGP works and email providers and decentralization, you look at, while again, Signal has proven to be an amazing solution for all, you know, they're running the entire stack and paying for it. So just keeping the lights on at Signal is a very expensive proposition. It doesn't, the cost is not shared. You know, and I think there is an opportunity, I think, for, as we mentioned earlier, a real value for PGP in the tools and set of solutions. Email still stands as an extremely valuable tool. And we also see innovation, again, from groups like Delta Chat in the user experience. And, you know, we actually, in our proof mode app, use, you know, there's all of these new standards and ways to sign and digital identities and wallets and, you know, complex things. But when in the end, when we were like, what is the easiest way to sign a photo or a video that I captured on my device that we know someone could find a tool somewhere to verify that signature? It was still PGP.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think the value in that kind of longstanding way is quite important. And, you know, we're glad to be collaborating with you to ensure that you have these insights that help let you know how to spend your money and time, because it's still very, very precious. And so I know we're pushing out with you, or you are, an update. John, what is the timeline again for this, all this new work to be live?
Probably the next few weeks. I don't know what the release schedule will be. I'll let the Mailbloat team speak to that, but we're talking next week about finalizing some of the copy in the UI that you saw. And if all goes to plan, week or two, that should be merged and ready for whenever the next version goes out.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the blog at Mailvelope. Go check it out. There's a lot of great things to read there. As always, cleaninsights.org, one of these tabs here. We've got a lot of great things going on. Really exciting, our toxic asset audit review, which you can see, I think if you do go to, what is it, cleaninsights.org/toxic. Some fun there to check out. You know, we're well prepared, suited and booted for our toxic asset.
I was not warned that day that I needed a costume early enough to acquire my safety gear. My respirator was down in the basement.
Yeah. You are our sacrifice to the toxic or the guinea pig, the canary. Of course, also please get free tea. The insightful tea, and we're thinking about putting out some stickers, but if you want tea, let us know. We're bringing a bunch to different places around the world in person. All of our SDKs are linked to here. We've got some updates on the Python front, on the Rust front. If you're interested in there, we're always looking for other implementations to support. And lots of news coming in the next few months. We're kind of in a big push here to raise awareness in a way that is in line with our values. So doing great conversations like this. Yuta, thank you so much for joining us. And let's see, I'm getting confused where my mouse is. Again, mailvelope.com. Thanks again. Good luck. And I'm glad we're collaborating. So keep it clean, everybody. Keep the insights going and encrypt and sign your email. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks, John.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. All right.